There we go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us once again. It's my pleasure. As Mrs. Sands introduced me, we'll get to that. Let me just say that you know the title, Avoiding the Pitfalls of Publishing. And I want to say that includes the gangster publishers that we all know that are out there. So without any further ado, we are going to get started with our slides. And who am I? I am Terry M. Bethel, author of 18 published books and counting. I'm also a ghostwriter. And for those who are not sure what a ghostwriter is, it's not somebody who does spooky books. It's somebody who stands behind an author or writer and writes for them. So we can be undercover, or we can write as co-authors, but we just help authors out. And so I'm a publisher, book coach, marketing, a book marketer, and website designer. And that's essential when you're putting your books out, when you need help getting it out. I'm also a newspaper columnist, former textile artist, handbag designer, and interior designer. I am as Mrs. Sand said, I am married, and I am the wife of one fabulous man and the mother of two wonderful adult sons. So how did I get here to be able to speak to you as a publisher? You saw that I'm a former textile artist. I actually started as an interior designer, and then I went into textile art and then into handbag designing. In the process of doing all of those things, I developed that I needed to promote my business. And so I got into website design. I had to learn these things. And product design, products meaning video designs and books. And after my husband and I and our son had started publishing our books and using various companies, I published locally or printed locally, and then we went into the sourcing publishers in the United States. They did a fantastic job with the final outcome, but there were some hidden areas that were that caught us off guard, and we didn't like it, and it became too expensive. So we decided we're going to do this ourselves. After doing it ourselves and being successful with it for so long, we decided that it's time to, well, my husband decided that he said I should try and do this for other people, just not to do it as a business, because we needed another money-making scheme. Everybody needs to have an income, but he just felt the compassion for others who are going through the same thing that we went through and needed help with getting our product out. So the website's called inspirepublishing.org. That's the name of the business. And we're a boutique publishing company that focuses on family-friendly books. Inspire Publishing guides our clients through the publishing process to create world-class library quality. This is important, library quality books. We coach our authors from start to finish, providing them with creative marketing tools such as infographics, book trailers, audio samples. We do press releases and websites to ensure greater visibility. We provide free podcasts on our website to help authors prepare for their publishing journey. That is important because, you know, you could spend a lot of time calling publishers and most publishers don't have the time to answer all your questions, but we have this area on our website where we try to help equip. We have it on inspirepublishing.org, and then we have some insights on booksbybethel.com. And so that takes us to booksbybethel.com, our book marketing website. So we are a directory for authors and writers in the Bahamas and the West Indies. We believe that there's strength in unity, so that's why we come together to showcase our books. The lady that was sharing, Ms. Turnquist, just before me, she spoke about strength and unity, and she is completely correct in this. We make it easier for search engines to find authors who write family-friendly books or empowering books. But we don't just feature religious books. We feature history, gardening, whatever book that would be empowering. We just don't want to feature anything that would break down our society or break down families. We don't showcase books with profanity or are sexually explicit and that sort of thing. So we encourage and feature young writers of the region, and that includes the Butterfly Club, the Rotary's Butterfly Club. So let's talk about how to find the right publisher for your genre. All publishers are not the same, so you have to do your homework. You need to research websites, make phone calls, and always check reviews. There are always some, you know, people say self-praise is no recommendation. So don't just listen to what the publisher is saying. Listen to what their customers are saying. And why do you need a publisher? Well, typically a skilled publisher knows what is required to get your book published and can help you to navigate through the process. You see, publishing is not just about throwing a book up and out on Amazon. There are so many book sites out there where you can do this, but let me tell you that we've had so many different authors who have been published through various platforms who have published their own books come back to us and say, listen, I fell flat on my face. This is not working out. It does not look professional. I'm not getting any sales. Can you help me? And so you need to at least start with a publisher who knows how to navigate through the process. And you need to know your publisher's policy on copyrights. So ideally, you want to keep your copyrights. You don't want to sell yourself short by giving them away. If you're using a self-publishing company, they typically will not allow you to ask you to sign over your publishing rights. So what is your publisher's policy on royalties and annual maintenance fees? Beware of the excitement of having your book published without checking the fine print. Many authors get little return from publishing because they have given a major portion of their royalties to their publisher. This doesn't work well for self-publishers. We work hard and we want to know that every dollar counts. So choose the companies that allow you to keep 100% of your royalties and those who do not charge you annual fees. They really, really dip into your gravy at the end of the day. So about selling on Amazon, can you sell your book on Amazon? Many authors print or publish their books first and then ask to have them placed on Amazon. That's kind of working backward. By publishing on Amazon, the largest sales platform, you do not have to stockpile your books or pay storage fees for your books to be printed. So the benefits of publishing on Amazon.com is a search engine in and of itself. That allows your books to be sold across all of their platforms with your titles being listed for availability for libraries and academic institutions. And so that means your books will be sold on Amazon.com, Amazon Canada, Amazon Italy or UK, or Japan. So you have a broad spread and they also have you listed so that those libraries and other institutions that might like your book, they have access to purchase them at the wholesale cost. So they are a print-on-demand book publishing platform that allows you to order from 1 to 999 books at a time at rock bottom prices. You see, that they can do that because they are print-on-demand. That means that you don't have to wait or go to somebody who says the minimum is 100 books or 500 books or 1,000 books. So this helps you so that you don't have to stockpile your books. Amazon deducts their printing costs and taxes and allows you to choose a royalty level which is paid when you reach $100 by check or direct deposit, which is paid, let me be clear with this, okay. So a lot of people are saying, I have my book on Amazon, I've had it for years, and it's not, I know it's selling, but I'm not getting any money. Amazon is stealing my money. Amazon is not stealing anybody's money that I don't believe that. When we first established our Amazon account, to the first check we had, we can go back in our dashboard and see when the first check, the first sale was made on Amazon. And so they just compile they accrue your sales until you reach that threshold. And then they either write a check for you or they deposit it into your bank account. Now, the Bahamas does not have a relationship with the United States for them to do that directly to our bank accounts. But if you have a US bank account or you're part of a country that does allow that, then Amazon would happily deposit that in the account for you. The amount has to be over $100, and that's after taxes. And the taxes usually the taxes are usually around 30% of the cost of your goods. You can optimize your description. We're talking about selling on Amazon and the benefits now. You can optimize your description to be found by search engines on Amazon. You can benefit from the look in the book feature. I noticed that a lot of people are migrating from other sites on Amazon and not publishing directly or having their publishers published directly on Amazon, and they don't have a look in the book feature. That is shortchanging you. Why sell your book with a cover and no look in the book? I'm not buying a book that I can't see what's on the inside. I want to at least see what the table of contents are so that I can see if this book is for me. I want to get a sampling of the author's writing. You don't want to just blindly put your book up there and it's not doing anything for you. So be clear on your publishing goals. Do you want a print job or a publisher? Let me just go back to that. You know, if your market is small and local, you may want a printer, but select one that offers small runs. Some people really do have a niche market that, and they don't want their stuff on Amazon or on a large platform. So that's fine. If you know what you want, then go for it. I say though, if you can benefit from Amazon, it's not going to charge you, it's not going to cost you a dollar. You only pay when you sell a book or sell books. Optimizing your account or your content to avoid being lost in cyberspace. This is the only way you will be found on Amazon or through any search engine. Many publishers provide books only. That's very sad. It's really sad. I had several people come to me and they're wondering why their books are not selling on Amazon. Well, there might be a host of reasons, but when I look at their book and see they have one sentence describing what their book is about. Well, search engines need more than one sentence to find you. They also need keywords to find you. People looking for your book, once they find that landing page, Your description should tell them what they can find in your book and how your book can benefit them. If they don't have that, they're going to move on. So we need to work on that aspect. Let's go deeper. The lady on the left, she is just a model, but she's featuring a book by one of my clients, Princess Burrows, who actually was a self-published author, and she had published several of her books, and she decided to migrate to us, and we were able to help her. What we did was repackaged her book for her. We gave her a cover that she loves, that was more child-friendly, and so that's just what we do. We try to make you shine. Should you copyright? Copywriting your book is not a bad idea, but you should know that it would only cover the country you have copyrighted that book in. So if you are copywriting in the Bahamas, you cannot expect that to be protected in the United States. If you copyright in Mexico, don't think that would be protected in the Bahamas and throughout the world. There is no worldwide coverage. If you feel your copyrights have been violated and have proof of the same, Amazon will put the violator's book on hold or refuse to publish it. So who is your target or audience? Before publishing, you should know your target audience. Is it large enough to warrant publishing a book, or should you revisit your presentation from a tell-all biography to a how to overcome or self-help book? Now, we have clients who come and they're not quite sure. They just know that, listen, there's something inside telling me I have to publish this book. So we don't just look at the dollar. We look at the person. We look at the manuscript script. We look and we say, does this book have potential? What can we do to help this book get the eyeballs it needs, because we see the value in it? And so we help our clients to shift where they're going with the book. One client in particular I'm thinking about, she just wanted to tell her story. And I said, well, that's a good thing, but the only people who want to really just hear your story are your family members and close friends. And that's probably it. Now, if you can convert this book into a story that would help people who went through what you went through, then you have broadened your scope. Because when I buy a book, and when most people buy a book, they don't just buy a book to support you as an author. They want to know that there's value in that book. How will this book benefit me? If I'm going to take my $10, $15, $20, $30, $40, $50 to purchase a book, that book better be working for me. So we show them how to convert that book. There's another lady who came to us recently. And she also had a similar situation, and we were able to turn her book around also, but we can get into that a little later. Again, what is the purpose of your book? If you don't know the purpose of your book, I'm actually kind of taking this from Dr. Miles Monroe. He used to say, if you don't know the purpose of a thing, what he used to say? If you don't know the purpose of a thing, I've gone blank. Would you forgive me for that? If you don't know where you're going in life, any road will take you there. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. So what I'm saying here, if you do not know the purpose of your book, you'll never know if you were successful in achieving the goal to publish. So know your purpose. Know the book's purpose and stick with it. So we got some more probing questions. Should you have your book edited? You should have your book professionally edited. I don't understand why people want to put a book out that is not professionally edited. An editor is not someone who checks for grammar, spelling, or typos. They don't just do that. There are various levels of professional editing to help you help your work read better and keep your audience interested. So they deal with structural changes. They deal with it. There are so many different levels. The problem is people think a high school teacher can help them just because they're a teacher or a college professor. College professors also need editors, even if they wrote the book themselves, especially if they wrote the book themselves. Everybody needs to have a new set of eyeballs focusing on their work. So yes, you should have your book edited. I did one. I had a book that I was publishing for a teacher, and I had to let her know too that and she's such a good-natured person, so this is not hitting her, and we laughed about it. And I had to tell her, Musi Een is not in English, that the English vocabulary, it's not in the dictionary. So yes, we do need that. When do you design your book cover? This cannot be effectively done before your book has been formatted. If it is a printed book, book printers have standards and requirements that should be met to ensure a professional outcome. Okay, so if you say that, well, I paid somebody $500 to design the cover of my book, and here it is. Well, you haven't even determined from your publisher what your page count is, which will determine the size of your spine, or how large your book is going to be in terms of whether it's going to be a 5.5 by 8.5 or a 6x9 or 8.5 by 11.5, 11. So to design your book cover before you go through the publishing process is premature. How do you determine the cost of your book? If you're publishing on Amazon.com, they will give you a minimum amount you can sell your book for. You determine from there what you would like to market up to. Online sales and brick and mortar stores may have different prices since you have to factor in freight and VAT. We don't pay duty on books coming into the Bahamas, but the freight and VAT really does increase the cost of your book. And so you should factor that into the cost of your book. Your book also is not determined because solely on the cost of what it costs you to publish your book. So if you were overcharged in producing your book, you shouldn't then turn around and think you can charge somebody $50 for a 30-page book. Now, the value of the book is not determined by the page count alone. It is also determined by the value. And so be wise in selecting your publisher and your publishing package. Ask questions. Do you have to market your book? Marketing is a must if you want your books to sell, but it doesn't mean you have to sit in front of the camera. Like Ms. Turnquist said in the last seminar sharing, she's comfortable writing. I'm comfortable writing. I'm not somebody who likes to be in front of a camera. I am not a public person, but it does, marketing does take effort. And that's why we as a publishing company provide tools to help our authors market. So we would give you the infographics that you can send out on social media, through WhatsApp, If you wish to put it on your marketing pages, book by Bethel, books by Bethel. So we have a number of things like the book trailers. I think I might have mentioned those before. But you do have to, the bottom line is you absolutely have to market your book. Bookstores in the Bahamas actually don't like to take too many Bahamian books because the Bahamian authors don't want to market their books. They just want to put it on the shelf, take up the bookseller's real estate. That's valuable property for them, allowing you to use their bookstore shelves. And if you're not helping them to market it, then they're going to call you and say, please, can you come and get your books? Because we want to use that space to help pay our rent. So your cover type. Should you print hardback, paperback, or an ebook? Well, that really depends on the purpose of your book. If it's a coffee table book or your market is high end, then a hard cover may be your solution. Typically, a paperback is the more economic route to take if you wish to sell a larger number of books to mid or low range demographic. And so to the regular readers, in other words, paperbacks would be the way to go. Now, some people say, but I always love hardcover books. Well, that's great. But are you going to be buying the books yourself or are you selling the books? So you sell what the public wants, what the readership wants. You don't just sell what you like, whether it is the cover or the content. So whether choosing a hardcover or a paperback option or ebook, it is essential the ebooks, you will have better royalties. And I read that incorrectly. So whether choosing a hardcover or paperback option, ebooks are essential and they do have higher royalties. And so you can avoid doing the ebooks, but what I'm saying is if you do avoid it, you're leaving money on the table. Because by the time you bring your book into the Bahamas, you would find that you have lost, you've left some money on the table because some people want books now and they stockpile the books right on their device. I take it, if I'm sitting in an office waiting for somebody, I don't waste my time. If I pick up a book and I'm reading. And so that's the benefit of an ebook. You can just go straight to it. If you're home and you want to curl up with a book, fine. Then you pull out your paperback or hardcover. Not all books are suitable for ebooks. Some are journals. Some you write in. Some just won't make it as an ebook. So many people would buy the ebook first and then decide they want a physical copy and as a keepsake. That's a great thing. So are you ready to begin your publishing journey? This is something Walt Disney said, and I will repeat it for you. The way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing. I just want to thank you for listening and joining me on this podcast. I am Terry Bethel, and you certainly can reach out to me by email by admin@inspirepublishing.org or on WhatsApp. My number is 818-2300. And I just enjoyed sharing this with you. There's so much more that we can share, but I would like to be available to answer any questions if you have. them for me.
Thank you so much, Terry. Nice and concise. I'm sure individuals would have some questions for you, but I want to start off by asking you to share a little bit more on the marketing side. Is it Books by Bethel?
Yes.
I want you to share a little bit more on that. I met you many years ago when you did the designs, artwork on handbags. And I was very impressed when I did one of your classes. And I was almost like a silent follower for many years. But I really liked the way you've merged and moved. And it seems like we have a lot of shared passions in our creative genes and talents. But when I started to talk to you about writing and publishing, I was very impressed with what you shared with me when you shared about Books by Bethel and what it is that you do with your authors. So could you share a little bit more about Books by Bethel for us, please?
Absolutely. So Books by Bethel was actually a website that was designed just for my family. Because we are several of us, right? But I went to several bookstores, local bookstores, and I asked, so what's selling and what's not selling? How can we achieve more success with our books? And it was sad to hear, but they were saying that our Bahamian people, number one, they're not providing books that are professionally published. Their covers are juvenile, unprofessional. Their content is sometimes riddled with all sorts of mistakes, and their books are not moving. And so our authors need help. Well, I said, maybe I can help at that time with helping to market the books. So I spoke with my husband and we agreed that we can convert our website into a marketing directory, a directory initially to help our authors be found. And so it is first and foremost a directory of writers and authors in the Bahamas, and now we have extended it to the West Indies. And so the reason it is important for writers and authors to have their names in a directory is that you need to be found. You need the search engines to be able to find your name. And if you are just on a printed book on the bookshelf and not online, people are not going to find you. And so we try to get your name. We try to get your book information. We list your information about your book, a little bit about yourself, and we link it to your providers. So if you are selling on Barnes & Noble, not everybody sells on Amazon, although Amazon is the largest online bookseller, we would link to your book to your Amazon or Barnes & Noble or to your website, if it's a family-friendly website. We would also list where your books can be found, because somebody might hear about your book and say, where can I find this book? And they only know your name. So they Google your name and they can't find you. And so we have a number of people who are contacting us because they have seen some authors that they've been looking for forever and couldn't find. And so it is a wonderful way to be found. I spoke with a gentleman yesterday who is coming on Books by Bethel, and in doing some research, he told me that he's published quite a number of books. But when I looked up his name on Google, which is one of the largest search engines in the world, he was not there. Five books. And I can't find your bio. I can't find anything about you. So that is telling, and he agrees. So yes, we use this as an opportunity because we think we are stronger together. And so if people are looking for Bahamian books, they can type in Bahamian books and they can find us all there together. So we come across, we are stronger. We also, on Books by Bethel, we use it as a training platform for youngsters. So we have elements there to teach them how to write short stories, how to improve on their writing abilities, to encourage them. We don't just want people who have written books. We want people who are showing the potential, and we want to encourage them and help facilitate their growth.
That's absolutely excellent. And I do have a project in mind that I hope that we can partner with, because I want to see Bahamians and Bahamian students buying more Bahamian books.
Yes.
You know, it's unfortunate that the first thing that comes to mind to a parent or a godparent or a relative to buy for a child is a tablet or a video game.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that that is the first thing that comes to mind. We need to bring back the appeal for books.
Yes.
And I think we need to do more to put it in your face, so to speak. We need to have book fairs, mm-hmm. and with live book readings and these kinds of things, to try and get our students to fall in love with books again. And
right.
And unfortunately, if we have a book fair or book readings, some parents may not opt to bring their child. But if we partner with schools and teachers would, I'm certain, be glad to use it as a field trip opportunity to bring the students, you know, to expose them to books and that kind of thing. So we need to find ingenious ways to get our children reading, get them to fall in love with books, so that books are not just something you use when you go to school.
Absolutely. You know, and Ms. Sands, you're so right. I spoke with a principal several days ago. She has included several of my books in her curriculum.
Beautiful.
And I think it is important when we write books and we say that we're Bahamian writing books, we don't want to just write books and say we are Bahamians. We should incorporate things of beauty in our country, or make the children aware of our heritage, you know, the positive things, you know, that we could instill in them. And when she told those children that the author was a Bahamian, they were elated. The book was primarily for them to read in school, in class, but they wanted to read the book when they went home, and she encouraged them. As a result of reading the books, they then decided that they were going to take a school trip, a school field trip to mm-hmm. Clifton to learn about the native Lucayans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because my books talk about Dean's Blue Hole, it talks about the Abaco Caves, but mm-hmm. it's all woven into the fabric of an adventure story for children. And so when you're writing a book, it is important to write to and for your specific audience. You don't write because this is something that this is something you want to do. You write because you want to give, provide needs. You want to meet needs and provide solutions to problems that are out there. And once you can meet needs and provide solutions, people will want your book if it is written properly. And that's why we have to take our standards up a notch to do that. And you would find that the parents do want them. And you're saying that they, you know, you want the children to have these reading opportunities. Absolutely, we want to have them, the reading opportunities. But a lot of authors, Bahamian authors, don't understand that the book cover is the first thing people come into contact with.
That appeal.
So if you're going to come into contact with that, that is your storefront window. Don't be so chimpsy with your clip art, my nephew drew this thing for me type cover. I had somebody reaching out for insights on marketing his book. And the first thing I saw, it doesn't matter if your cover was, your book was published yesterday or 10 years ago. If it's a bad cover, it's a bad cover and your book probably won't sell. And so even if it was just published and launched yesterday, you need to work on changing that cover.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the gentleman did not want to hear that, but his name was not even on the cover. So how do you sell a book that does not have a decent cover? So I say all that to say, so the parents go into the bookstores and they're not really excited about what they see. You know, and they say, don't judge a book by the cover, its cover. Well, that's the first thing people are going to do. They are going to look at your cover and they're going to say, whoa, this must be boring. This must be awful. This must be this. Ugh. And the children do the same thing. And so you want to try and make it exciting. You want to have it, if it's for children, put color in it. Make it lively. Make it engaging. If you're going to write a book for a child, stop making it preachy. Let them think that it's their idea that they should clean their room or that they should help mom wash the dishes, or it's the proper thing to do with these things. But don't make your book something the way you're beating people over the head. Lovingly share your stories, humorously share your stories, but always package them in a lovely box so that when the parents do go to the school, go to the bookstores, or they see it online, they want to purchase your book.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very important. And the same thing applies if you go to purchase food, and it does have to be appealing. You're not going to want to buy it. You're not going to want to eat it. You know. So the same thing applies. You go to purchase clothing, shoes. You don't like how it look. You're not going to buy it.
Right.
So you know, that's just a basic thing that happens. You know, that face appeal, that sight appeal has to be there. The visual appeal
right
has to be there.